This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone, thanks for joining the To Hell and Back podcast, the award-winning To Hell and Back podcast. I messed up the intro. I'm always supposed to say award-winning. Proudly sponsored by Kingfisher Fisheries, Quality Fish and Chips, and Old Zoological Bar. I had the pleasure of meeting the owner, Jimmy Chu, yesterday, and he was very nice. So thanks for sponsoring if you're listening. And go check out Old Zoological Bar in Hull and Kingfisher Quality Fish and Chips. So a bit of a negative episode. Your host today is Nathaniel. I'm joined by Will and Ant, the hat-trick hero, due to his likeness, the absolutely, complete resemblance to Ozan Tufan. Negative episode last week. Lovely episode this week with a nice win with 4 goals against a Yorkshire rival, and hopefully some exciting transfers to come in midweek. So I think we should be quite excited for this one. Is that right, Will and Ant?
I would say so.
The good smug face kicking in too much at the moment.
Yeah, and because, Will, you're always very creative with your headline, do you want to read out for the lovely listeners at home?
Because obviously there's been a lot of transfer time while we're talking Hotspur recently. I got a phone call yesterday afternoon, and apparently Spurs are interested. They're that desperate.
Yeah, so I guess he's the one who's cursed, isn't it? It's not Spurs, because first match for Bayern Munich, and they lost the sort of equivalent of the Community Shield there, so still hasn't won a trophy.
I would say no, because it's been one game. Funny that, saying about one game not being a disaster.
Very good segue, Will. I think, Ant, you were quite critical and deservedly critical. Perhaps, no, you weren't saying we're senior out, but I guess we'll just jump straight into it. We were much better yesterday in a lovely win against Sheffield Wednesday. So what was different to the Doncaster and Norwich games for you, Will, or Ant?
Well, for me, the first half, we seemed to control the game a lot better, I think. Wednesday stood up for us a lot, but we didn't really create many chances. You know what I mean? We were well in control of the game, but we didn't have possession in a meaningful way. We had a couple of sighters where we had a couple of shots from range, but we didn't look like we was going to, really put them to the sword like we ended up doing. And then obviously got the sucker punch with their goal, and you're thinking, oh, here we go again, kind of thing. And with how wasteful we are in possession in the final third, you think it's going to be one of those days. But I think the penalty came at a perfect time. I think obviously scoring at that point of the game, it led to probably a bit more of a happier team talk perhaps at halftime from Rosinha. I do think he probably still gave them both barrels anyway. And it came out the second half vastly superior, completely different. The pace at which we passed the ball, The options off the ball, the options we had in wide areas, it just improved significantly. And it showed by the fact that we created so many more chances and put three goals in. So, you know, more of that second half performance throughout the season in every game. And then, you know, we're going to be in a healthy position. So, complete contrast to the Norwich game and definite contrast to the Doncaster one where we were shocking on the ball and created nothing. It was nice to see us actually, you know, pop four goals in, and it's always nice to beat them in it. So, very positive day.
Yeah, absolutely. Will, especially before the Toufant Ozan Toufant penalty, were you fearing the worst and fearing that perhaps the reaction was also going to be really bad on social media? Because I thought the first half wasn't awful and we were just very unlucky to go in potentially at 1-0 behind. So what were your thoughts there?
Performance-wise, the first and second halves went massively different. I thought we were still pretty much the same in both halves. The only difference is in the second half, the ball stuck in the box, whereas when we put it in the box in the first half, it just wouldn't land right. And I think it was also helped by the fact that I think the moment we got that, I think also was helped by the moment we got that equaliser, it felt like Wednesday were very happy with the draw and weren't going to like push us anymore. And as soon as Ozan scored that belter from 30 yards, the game was completely dead. They were never coming back.
Yeah, it did feel quite similar to the Bristol City game, the first game of last year. First half, we conceded a sort of dodgy goal, perhaps against similar run of play. The other team were happy to sit off and give us possession. But we had a fully fit Toufant this year, which we didn't have last year. That was the quality.
What it felt like was I imagine how Norwich was feeling at half time in their game against us, because they spent the entire half dominating, couldn't score at all. We go ahead against the runner player, and then they equalise right on half-time.
Mm. Yeah, and then, of course, it was an Ozan Toufant penalty that got us back into the game. And I think same as last year, we sort of needed that. I've seen a lot of Sheffield Wednesday fans say that the penalty they got, or we got, wasn't justified. But it's a foul anywhere else on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, he's been elbowed, bleeding everywhere. So, that was definitely a penalty, wasn't it?
It's a weird one because when you watch it in live play it's a foul hands down, but I think when you watch the replays he runs into his arm. But it's one of those that you see him give him, you see him do. We're quite lucky. I think it was probably less of a penalty than the other two calls we had on Coyle and was it Delap.
I think we'd be fuming if Wednesday got that penalty.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those where. Look, if how do you jump without raising your arms, for one? But also, you've got to watch where you put your arms. It's one of those, isn't it? Where it's down to the ref, that one. That's totally down to the referee's opinion on obviously what the Wednesday player's done or what his intent was. So, like we say, we're not going to complain. After the Norwich game, we were probably due some luck in our favour. And I think, like we say, that came at such a crucial point in the first half.
I didn't feel like we're going to get it, though, because the ref, I thought, was pretty poor, to be honest, for the most part.
Yeah, I thought he had a really poor first half. I think he got more of control on it on the second, but that's probably because we had 100% of the ball.
Yeah, so shall we linger on the controversy just a little bit longer and get onto some more positives? Because Rossini was very upset about the first goal. I've clipped and put it on Twitter that the ref seems to blow his whistle to stop. Twice in quick succession, he blows it for the free kick, and then twice again when the Wednesday player gets up, it looks like he wants to go over and talk to Greaves. So the City players stop moving and then they go on and score. And then a bit of an unlucky deflection off McLaughlin and it goes in. So I think that's probably 2 weeks where we can be a little bit aggrieved with the goals we've conceded from a refereeing standpoint. But again, both were mistakes and then we just haven't reacted quick enough. Yeah, exactly. Because it was, you know, the corner. You've still got to defend that corner at Norwich. So, my stepdad was very annoyed that we conceded again in the last minute. But is that too much of a worry? Because I think at that point, 4-1 up,
I was going to make this point. The worry is, last season, defensively, we were absolutely brilliant. This season, we've conceded 2 in every game. And the problem with the Sheffield Wednesday one is that they had 2 shots on target, scored them both. In a game that we dominated and should have won probably 4-5-0, we still ended up conceding 2 goals. And you got to think, if we're going to play the sides in the league, like the Southamptons, your Leicesters, your Leeds that are coming up, Middlesbrough's, Coventry's, we've got to be better defensively in these games. These slight lapses of concentration at the back that's allowing them. I mean, the second goal, three players are completely pulled out of position and one reverse passing behind and he's through. It's. I know the game's won at that point.
It felt like a proper game's over goal, didn't it?
Yeah, but this is the thing. But if you're a man, if I'm Rosinha, I'm fuming. You want to,
and it was.
No matter what score it is, no matter how much you're going to go on and win the game, you've got to concentrate to the final whistle because, you know, on another day, Wednesday do what they did in the playoffs and go on, pick the Reds up and go, do you know what, just keep lumping the ball in the box, get a third, the you know what I mean? It's you've got to see games out better. And I think defensively this season, we just seem a little bit suspect at the back. And that's probably the only negative from the Wednesday game is that we've come away from that conceding two. Because that's a real sucker punch.
Rosinha wasn't happy in the post-match press conference about conceding two goals because it really did flatter Wednesday.
Yeah.
If we conceded two but scored maybe eight, it maybe would have been more realistic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would love to score eight. Enship says that you should remember that we've had different centre-back pairings each game. And hopefully it's not like last year where it took us ages to get a second clean sheet. We had one against Preston and then not for ages and ages. So hopefully once we do get that first one, we can go on a better run like we did last year. But so I guess, you know, a very good win, but there are some negatives. And well, shall we just talk about how good Ozan Toufan is? He's a first career hat trick. Three wonderful, really quality finishes, and that's what you really need from a midfielder, and a player of his caliber, is to show those moments of quality when you really need it. The second goal in particular was lovely because I don't think he scored a goal like that for City yet. He's tried it an awful lot. So nice that you finally got one.
We've had a couple of shots from the outer box where it's kind of deflected in, but we've not. I don't think we've had a clean strike that's flown into the top bin like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think, not from memory.
Did we toil against Fleetwood? Maybe it was the last one. Oh, no, Greg Doherty at Blackpool.
Yeah, Doherty at Blackpool had one, but we don't really often score very good goals. So delighted that he got that, and hopefully he carries on to have a fantastic season after that.
If you go back and watch that goal, the actual whole build-up to the goal is great as well because City passed the ball around the pitch quite a bit before it goes to Toufan. So it's a good example of how the philosophy of the is working against some teams.
Yeah, I think that was...
It's important to note that I think the difference in this game was, and obviously we're all very excited about the signing of Vinagre and what he can offer us when he's fully fit. But Jacob Greaves being in that back four, for me, was the difference because when we was... I think when we've got Vinagre in the side and we're trying to play this possession style in the 4-4-2, the fluidity in the system is lost because obviously he's not match fit. He's learning a new system, learning new players. And when he pushes up the pitch, he doesn't sit back like Greavesy does and offer that back three. Now, when Greavesy plays as left back, we essentially in possession become like a 3-4-1-2, whatever it was, 3-4-2-1.
Yeah,
pretty much. So, yeah, he sits back alongside Maka and Jones and it allows us to create those triangles from centre half to midfield to attack, which is something we didn't have against Norwich or Doncaster, which is why the ball was sticking at Ingram or the defence and going straight back to him. Greaves' inclusion in that team just gives us so much fluidity, and I think at left back that was probably Greaves' I think best game for us hands down. And
left back, yeah.
But both him and Coyle were absolutely fantastic, and
Coyle was my man,
right winger. Yeah, I think that was probably Coyle's best game for us as well. I mean, it was just. Both the fullbacks and Laquilo as well offering the width. I just thought it was in an attacking sense, we actually had options, which is something we couldn't say. Definitely not against Doncaster and perhaps not as much at Norwich either. But
Traore showed up as well after a couple of iffy games as well. Was that good?
Yeah, but yeah. I think the thing was with the Traore is we played him out wide and he's not a winger. So we know how good he can be in the middle. And obviously he's been playing sort of as a right midfielder, hasn't he? And when we had the ball, like we say, when we dropped to like a 3-4-2-1, it allowed him to drop narrow, sort of alongside Toufan and just behind the lap. And because he was more narrow and he was cutting in, it was allowing Coyle to bomb on into that empty space on the overload, and then Laquilo to offer width on the other side. And we had abundance of options in the middle. And we know how good Traore, Toufan, Seri, and Slater can be. And when you put them four in close vicinity in the middle, it leads to those quick first touch passes, little bits of interchanges, and then gets it out wide. And that's the difference from the Chef Wednesday game to obviously from the Doncaster one for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what I'd sort of contribute to that is that it seemed like a bit of an asymmetrical system because, as you said, Coyle was so far up, whereas Greaves was a left back, but he was nowhere near as high on the left side as Coyle was. Yeah, and that's how we got our defensive solidity last year, because we didn't have Fleming, we had Greaves. So it was that sort of fluid system, and I think it worked a whole lot better. And it's a shame because Vinagre, he seems like he could be a really good attacking player. But if it's better for the system to have Greaves at left back, even if that's not his best position, you really do want him and McLaughlin and Jones on the pitch at the same time, don't you? And if maybe it is sort of a 3-5-2, if you like, but also
you've got the potential. You've got the potential with Vinagre to play the position that Laquila was playing on the left hand side above Greaves, yeah, if you wanted to. And then you can play Laquila on the other side instead of Traore, which gives you two, you know, very tricky wingers on either side. Rosini will know his plan for Vinagre, and I don't think he's match fit. I don't know if he's injured. I don't remember seeing anything about it, because I thought maybe he's put Greaves in tactically, because Wednesday were a massive
It wasn't
side.
On the bench, so I think he was injured.
Him and Vaughan both missed because they picked up little knocks last week.
Yeah, I think he just probably could have included him, but didn't, on the basis that Wednesday were just a giant team, and Greaves being at the back made more sense. For the aerial presence as well as, but you know, it's helped us see sort of what Greaves can give us in the system in that position.
And Daniel Rose has said here that Slater was his second best player, but I mean, you could have had Tufan, you could have had Greaves, Slater, maybe even Traore or Laquila. There were lots of players who performed really well. I think Laquila's put in two pretty good performances so far, and I was just thinking earlier, especially if we do sign Scott Twine and maybe another winger, which might happen this week, surely at least two forward players are going to leave, because we've got so many players, and it could be another thing like last year where perhaps it's going to be difficult to keep them all happy and give them game time, because Laquila's done pretty well. But Vaughan, Aliar, Cynic, Longman, and then maybe two more signings.
I think you know the answer to that one. I think Longman's on his way.
Precisely, but him and someone else has got to go, I think, just for the space in the team, because it's going to be at least one or two wingers every week that aren't even in the squad, even though there's nine substitutes now rather than seven on the bench. So I'm sure we will be seeing a few leave. But Laquila looked pretty sharp, perhaps not a huge amount of end product, but every time he was on the ball, I thought, like, you know, like a proper winger should have a bit of creativity, and perhaps something's going to happen. So, you know, I think with Delap and the Kilo so far, they both look like pretty good signings. But I'll keep talking about the hat-trick hero for a little bit. Just how important is a fully fit Tufan playing at the best of his ability for perhaps a whole year?
Is if you think back to the seasons where we've done well at one promotion, something like that, the sides that do that, you've got to have goals all over the pitch. It can't just be from, you can't just rely on one player, your striker. Goals have to come from all over. And Tufan, what did he get, 9-10 goals last season? Like we say, he wasn't even fully fit. And most of his appearances, I think, actually came off the bench. I think he made 20-odd appearances off the bench. So if you've got a fully fit Tufan, he's getting you 10, 15 goals a season. Mm-hmm. All that means then is one of your strikers has to do their job and also get similar. And you're in the top half. Two players getting you that amount of goals, and then, you know, your usual five sixes from other players like Slater will probably get goals, and then you've got players like, you know, defenders that'll pop up, Greavesy that'll get them. You've got to have goals all over the pitch, and Tufan in this kind of form, considering he's already on three and with two games in the season, suggests he might have a better season than last year. And like you say, he offers more, and Rosini said this, I think, in his interview, where it's not even just in an attacking sense. His work off the ball as well is so much better. And I think he said in his interview that Tufan came to him after scoring his second goal and said, I'm tired, I want to come off. And Rosie said, no, stay on and you'll score again. And he did. And then obviously subbed him off afterwards. But that just means, that shows you that he's putting in the work so much to the point that he's actually asking the manager to come off because he's worn out. But that's what you want to see as a fan. You want to see players running themselves into the ground for the cause. And two fans loved it, and I think he sort of wants to reciprocate that to the fans by giving his all every week.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And the fact he's putting in that amount of effort coming back and helping the midfield when he is sort of playing as a second striker, I think shows that as well. Dan Gosling will be absolutely fuming.
Sat somewhere seething.
Two fans probably going to score more than Dan Gosling's going to play this year. I'd fully back him to get double figures. And I don't know who
it
was.
Club? I'm sure he was released by Watford. I can't remember if
he's he's played like 10 games in the last 2 years. I think he's pretty much done now.
Last week I said Tufan will get either double figures in goals or assists, or maybe, but he'll get at least double figures in one. And I'm feeling pretty confident suddenly about that.
Oh, yeah. He just has to scrape last year's total on top of a hat-trick already, and I think he's going to get a whole lot more, especially in that sort of second striker role. But, I mean, if we do have all these extra players, I know we were saying it last year and then they all got injured, but really you just, perhaps we don't need one player to score like 20 goals. We just need them to sort of contribute for the whole team. And, I think you could look at a Slater, a Delap, Oscar, and they can all get five at least.
I said in the stand, didn't I, when we was 3-1 up and Rosinho was making his subs and he brought on Estupiñán and Connolly, and I turned around and said, how ruthless is that, that we're dominating the game to the point that we're 3-1 up and he's still chucking strikers on the pitch? And this is the thing, you're seeing it as a chance, you know, Oscar, get yourself on there, get a goal. Connolly, get on there, get yourself a goal. It's like, you know, he's giving them opportunity. And the thing is what we didn't have last season was players to come on like that that can still offer us goal threat. And like Connolly, like we said, he comes on, gets a goal. Mm-hmm. And last season, we barely had a striker to play anywhere. And now we've got, what, we can rotate four of them. So it's if they can all stay fit, I'm pretty sure we'll get the goal total that was missing last season, because, like we say, it was just the fitness issues last season was the real problem. But this season, we've got an abundance of attacking options. And with the signings yet to come in, it could get even better. So, yeah, it's one of those where we've got to hope that it sort of all settles quite quickly and everyone gets fully fit, because like Connolly and Oscar, I think, are still trying to get minutes in to get fully fit. And Oscar got 13 last season, so a fully fit Oscar as well to add to the mix. It's you know, the possibility for our goal scoring issues ending is quite high.
Mm. I think the fact that Oscar scores in bunches as well perhaps might not be as big an issue, because if he does come on, score a few in 2 and 3 games, but can't do that consistently, we do now have the other players.
And they're all off the mark. Delap scored, Oscar scored, Connolly scored, and Tufan scored.
So yeah, and they're the three strikers, and then Tufan's been playing up there as well. So that's four strikers, basically, who have got at least one goal this season. And that's incredibly important. You know, we always say when you bring in a new striker, you want them to score early on. And, you know, that's five goals between them already. Might be nice for a player in another position to score pretty soon, but you know, if you've got four strikers scoring lots, then that's a recipe for success. Connolly came on, easy goal. I mean, I think even my beloved Ryan Longman couldn't have messed that up, although he did in one of the preseason games. So Enship says if he stays fit, Connolly could get 10 to 15, and absolutely, I think we've got a few players. We've got a lot of players that could do that easily. I mean, Traore or Twine. Twine could score about 10 free kicks if we do get him.
That's going to be his most vital thing when he comes in.
And that's our most vital thing. I said to you at the game, didn't I, Nathaniel, that we've just got no set-piece takers. I don't think there's no player. Traore looks good at free kicks, but there's no real player that you think, when we get a free kick on the edge of the box, that this could be a goal. No. Like, we don't seem to have one of those.
Not since Snoddy.
And it's even just putting the ball in the box as well, like from corners and putting the ball in from a free kick. The quality of delivery is just not there either. Set pieces, we just don't seem to be there at all, and it leads to us going short, and then it just gets wasted. So I think your extra goals that come from set pieces, someone like Twine can actually put that total up, and that those extra goals that you get from them can put you in a far better position than what you probably expected to be in. It can be the difference between mid-table and playoffs, for example.
Yeah, I think Traore's, I think his corners yesterday were pretty decent. I think he's probably the best set-piece taker we have at the moment. But we probably had about 9. I mean, we had Woods and Pelkas, and maybe Elder took some, and everyone
Elder
took them.
Until he left.
Yeah, but he wasn't really, we didn't have a preferred taker. Even Seri's aren't that great, so I think having Twine, if you know, we keep mentioning him, but hopefully that does go through. All I'll look very silly.
Don't worry,
so plenty of positives to take out of the performance, and well, nice to get one over on Sheffield Wednesday again. That's the first time we've beaten them four times in a row, apparently. So we're sort of their bogey team now. So
we've beaten them 11 times in the last 20 games.
Yeah, so very good. And of course,
always nice to beat them 4-2 as well, from what I remember last time we beat them 4-2.
Mm-hmm. Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Indeed. Yeah. So I've mentioned him a lot, but shall we talk about the main transfer news that we're expecting this week? A bit of a Fraser Campbell-like, or maybe Ashley Fletcher, the striker from Middlesbrough we always wanted to sign. A bit of a sort of transfer saga from last year. We looked like we were going to sign Scott Twine on a permanent deal for about $3 million from MK Dons last summer. Then Burnley came in and he went to Burnley, and that worked out very well for him. He got promoted. But now that they're in the Premier League, we might be getting him on loan. So that could be confirmed, I think, Tuesday, Wednesday. Very good young player. Do we think that's going to be, you know, because I think last week, wingers are a problem position. He'll go straight into the starting 11, right?
Possibly. I mean, I won't worry about it possibly happening. It's happening.
Yeah, you should do.
Don't worry about that. I would put him straight in the side 11, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who you
are. I was going to say, who are you dropping?
Well, I mean, I drop Traore and put Twine on the wing. But the thing is, in a long season with five substitutes, if we're going to have these options, they're all going to have a decent amount of minutes. It doesn't really matter about who you're dropping it for, because there will definitely be opportunities from fitness and the amount of games you play for everyone to play. Here is a quote from the Turfcast Burnley podcast about Scott Twine. He's a seriously good footballer and got raw talent to go a long way, a bit lightweight and gets knocked off the ball a bit easily, and perhaps slow decision making. But his dead ball skill, as we mentioned, can get you a winner when you need it. And he thinks it's very helpful for him to go out on loan to get some important game time. So thanks to Turfcast for giving a bit of insight to Scott Twine. Just a loan deal. Tom mentioned he called us Loan FC, but loans, especially with a player that perhaps was injured a fair bit last year, like many signings we've made, it's a risk worth taking, right, on loan?
Loans, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Hmm. Yeah, and I guess
the thing is with loans, you're not. Well, usually loans come with a loan fee nowadays, but you're not paying, you know, millions to bring a player in, and like you say, you're not burdened with them next season through the contract if they aren't, you know, up to standard or have been injured for the majority of time. And the thing is, if he does get a long term injury, you can send him back anyway. Usually, so. Yeah, it's low risk. I'm happy for it. The Connolly 1 year deal is a bit bizarre. I mean, it's one of those where it's
Connolly asked for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably given himself a shorter time to obviously think. But with the loans, like you say, it's a gamble, isn't it? It ends up like Ebby Way, where he's like, you know, this isn't my club anyway. I don't care, and goes back, or you end up getting somebody like Campbell who gets you 15 goals and promoted to the Premier League. So it's you know that it's hit and miss. Usually, young players with points to prove. But you know, like we say, low risk.
I think Twine's different on that, because last summer he did come to the training ground, he pretty much agreed to join the club, but MK Dons didn't really want to sell us him. They wanted to sell him to Burnley because they offered more money.
You see, I thought about this. I think that he didn't want to sign for Avaladze.
No, he didn't want to sign
for Avaladze, and didn't have faith in him. as a manager. We've listened to him in interviews, and he wasn't really that motivational, was he? I think he didn't really want to, you know, if you're meeting with Vincent Kompany or Short Rival Adzi, I know what I'm signing for. But now, obviously, with Premier League time, then Kompany will have said to him, look, your minutes aren't going to be guaranteed this season. We've got Liam Rosinia. Because the thing that makes me think about that was the quotes from, I can't remember if it was Baz or whoever else first reported it, that he really wants to come now.
Yeah,
really wants to come now.
He wanted to come then as well.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But I think he probably wants to play for Rosie.
He wanted to come back last summer, but it was more a case of MK Dons didn't want to sell us him because they were going to get more from Burnley, so they didn't really want to accept our deal. They wanted to accept Burnley's deal instead.
I think all the comments from Rosinia that he said about Agent that we're going to sign a young talent that we tried to get last year, I think we were all pretty confident that it could well be Scott Twine, especially.
But apparently it's not Twine, is it?
No, it's someone not different, Twine. I think, up there.
Oh, so we're signing another good player.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I think they're on about Rakitić.
No, they're not. They're on about someone else.
Yeah.
They're on about someone else completely different who no one has said yet.
Yeah,
they
so.
They're about someone I can't say. They're on about someone who, if we bring him in, it's going to cost a few quid. And it's unllikely that we'll bring in someone like Max Baird as well. It's going to be more like one or the other. It's not Barkley. He's just gone to Luton, you silly sod.
Getting on loan from Luton?
It's a highly rated player. I can't tell you who it is.
Oh, so you know and you can't tell us?
Yes.
Ooh,
yeah, I always thought it was Cole Palmer, but after seeing how he's sort of included in Man City side at the minute, I don't think so. Yeah.
If we do get this lad, it will be a very good signing. But it's one of those where if the FFP is a thing that's genuinely an issue, it's going to be interesting because it's going to be someone where if we bring him in, we're not going to bring in someone like Max Baird, who have been highly rated and looking at. So it'll be interesting if it does happen.
Enchep's asking what position will, but this is the highly rated young winger we've been. Winger. And is this the English talent that we've been talked about? Okay.
He's English, yes.
Yeah. I think the second.
He's not Rakitić, he's been.
Yeah. The second Cole Palmer cut inside and scored a worldie against Arsenal on the Community Shield, I think it was pretty
it was
sure we weren't going to get him.
Mahrez. It was out of the question.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's very exciting. It feels like last year where we're trying to sign every single young winger there is possible to get. And I do think maybe the financial fair play, if we sell Cynic as I expect, and maybe Aliar.
I'd send Aliar back to Turkey on loan. I think he needs a loan somewhere familiar to find his feet again.
It is funny how no one mentioned him and he wasn't in the team sheet at all when you think about it. It's not Ollie Green was on the bench, but which would have been nice to see him, to be honest, when we were 4-1. But
yeah, can we all agree that Cynic's played his last game for City? Surely,
I can't see him playing. For City.
He's not had a pre-season for 2 years now.
It's bizarre that we've given him a squad number, really.
Yeah, Ryan Woods hasn't got a squad number.
I think he's got a squad number just in case any of these signings don't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, but...
But do you really want to be trying to incorporate someone into the side when he's barely played for us?
No, for 2 years and...
You could say that for a new signing, couldn't you?
Well, you could, but we've seen...
Would you bring him to the side when he's barely played for us?
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. But I guess Cynic's proven that he can't...
I will say, though, to make you feel better, Nathaniel, Lonman isn't off for Turkey.
Yes, indeed. He isn't going to Karagümrük. So that is excellent. But I just think that's probably because he wants to go on loan to a club in England.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And I think he needs that. Aliar probably needs that somewhere. Cynic probably needs it. Because we can't have these young players. And the longer we hold on to Aliar and Cynic and they keep getting injured or don't play, the $3 million each we spent on them will sort of, you know, deteriorate and we won't be able to get the same amount of money. So if we sell them or loan them out, or perhaps even be able to sell them for the same amount or...
Wait a minute, is this team. Young talent Keen Lewis Potter, maybe?
Well, you can't say. Surely you can't say who it's not, because then I will name it.
It's not
I bet he's available on loan this season. I've cracked it.
He surely is available on loan.
Return of KLP.
I wouldn't mind that.
The Hull and Back exclusive.
Yeah. But yeah, we can't. I could just make a list of every young English winger, and there aren't that many that are kind of good. So that would be easy to find out.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed actually looking back on. You said Dele Alli and Ross Barkley, and it's a young English winger, and they're both now like 50.
Yeah.
Lewis Potter? Is it Lewis Potter?
It's not Lewis Potter.
He wouldn't tell us if it was anyway.
I wouldn't tell you if it was anyway, yeah. I can't tell you. I'll lose my sauce.
It's Keane, 100%. Yeah, he's not Vinny. He's not involved in Brentford squads.
Yeah, Vinny in the comments doesn't believe you.
That don't mean out because Rakitić was involved in Palace's squad during the weekend, but he's still getting heavily.
Yeah, they're putting him in the shop window.
On the bench, I guess. Yeah. Well, he's there, isn't he? He's there. Last little comment about Scott Twine. I did a bit of research about how many free kicks he scores. So James Ward-Prowse in his entire career has scored, I think, 19 free kicks. And averages one per 21 games, whereas Scott Twine averages one every 15 games in his entire career, and he averages them even more since he started playing in the top four leagues, because I think he was in Ireland
so
for a bit.
We've got the new Juninho, is what you're saying?
Yeah, well, we've got the younger...
The new Andy
Ward
Dawson.
House. New Andy Dawson, exactly. So, because it really does help. Because
it with Juninho.
Yeah, it's the same with getting a penalty or a corner, or, you know, just a scrappy goal. You might not earn a free kick, but if, you know, Dap, he's been winning a few free kicks. So if he can get on the edge of the box, hold the ball up, get a foul, and Twine can put it in, that'd be excellent. So that's something to look
it
out
is,
for.
Because we have a lot of players that can win fouls. Look at Traore, Toufan, Lekeba looks like he's going to be that kind
of
player.
We got a lot of decent positions yesterday.
They buy fouls in good places, and we just have nobody to benefit that at the minute. So, yeah, someone like Twine could probably get us an extra 5-10 goals a season in on the edge of the box with a free kick.
Yeah, we've got another comment. Pretty sure Lewis Potter would come back to City if we put
him
in.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we've cracked it. It's Keane. Everyone
perhaps
knows
we have. Perhaps
Keane,
we have.
Coming back.
Believe what you want.
Now that you've said,
now
that it, I know it's someone other than Twine or Rakitić, I am going to spend the whole evening trying to work out who else it could be. So very exciting, and hopefully we'll have a bit more attacking power going into the game at Blackburn. It was 0-0 last year, and I don't think we've scored there for a few years, so it's a bit of a bogey ground for us, perhaps. But how are we thinking about the Blackburn game? Because we really do need another positive result to show that the Sheffield Wednesday game wasn't just a fluke.
A big opportunity. Blackburn are not the side that they were the last couple of seasons. They've lost a lot of key players.
Oh, no, Diaz.
Could you say they're a shambles?
Could say they're shambles, although he's not there anymore. So
I know what he's doing.
They are unbeaten. Unbeaten.
He's gone to another championship club.
That one against Rotherham.
Did he
to another championship club? I can't remember where.
Did he say Rotherham?
No,
I said the Blackburn played Rotherham this weekend and they came from 2-0 down.
Sammy Schmodek's a player I rate. He scored two. Well, you talk amongst yourselves, and I'm going to find out where Brady Dack's gone.
he's gone to Sunderland.
Sunderland. Yeah, very Sunderland.
I could have
found
that out. It is a very Sunderland signing sort of kind of player who's passed it. Used to be good. Like Aidan McGeady, I think.
Sunderland are managed by Tony Mowbray, who I think brought him to Blackburn.
Yes.
He managed him at Blackburn anyway.
But Blackburn have also lost the fake Chilean, so they've lost his goals. They don't, like the last couple of seasons they've been top six contenders, but this season they look more like they're going to be bottom half of the league. So it's a big chance for us to overturn the Ewood Park hoodoo, and like we said, continue this momentum from the Wednesday game, and hopefully go there and have two positive results in a row, and obviously get that feel good factor back going, and hopefully it clicks like it did, and a couple of new signings to add into the mix too.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, I think we're both, or all three of us, are very more sort of optimistic about the season rather than last week.
I mean, Blackburn won the opening game against West Brom, didn't they? And they drew from 2-0 down against Rotherham. I think it'll be a trickier game, but I don't think it'll be.
There's a 10-man Rotherham.
It was Norwich. They still came back.
And Rotherham,
has Hull City have proven. Our opponents going down to 10 men does not mean we're going to score.
No, true.
It means we're less likely to score. Even when we were playing against 9 men all those years ago with Bruce against Sunderland, they very almost got a point. Was it Harper? Had to make a great save.
Brucey wasn't the most attacking of managers, though, let's be honest. No.
Grind out a 1-0 win against 9 men. Horrendous. Horrendous. Another comment. Will, is Delap 16-1 to replace Kane at Spurs?
No, I am. They're that desperate.
Oh, yeah. I'll mention it again. I mentioned it before the podcast. Delap played very well against Norwich. Didn't really get involved a huge amount against Sheffield Wednesday from how I felt. Did okay. But do we think it's still going to be the same sort of thing where the strikers aren't getting involved with the system as much as last year?
I think he had an all right game. It's just because he didn't score people up on it. The thing what Delap offers us is his hold-up ability, which is something we missed in a long time. I think what he's really good at and what I really like watching about him is when the ball goes up in the air in the box, he takes it down so well and he invites a player to foul him because he has him on his back and he's trying to take... He plucks the ball out of the air with his feet and his close ball control is amazing. And his link-up play with those around him is really good. So obviously he didn't have the chances to score goals as much against Wednesday because they kind of marked him out of the game. But it gave space for Coyle, Lekilo, Greavesy and all them to hurt him out wide. So that one tactical decision they made to try and mark the lap out of the game, let other players flourish in that sense, and we still end up scoring anyway. So it's good that we've got that mixture in the squad. But what the lap gives us is they have to sort him out. Like we say, they've either got to mark him or he's going to be more of a threat. And if they do mark him out of the game, it's going to give somebody else who's equally as good the opportunity and more space to do some damage.
On Toufan?
Yeah, exactly. So it allows Toufan to drop into that space between the midfield and the back four and do what he does best and pop the ball in the back of the net from the edge of the box.
Hmm. Very good. Well, if we do want to go into sort of the Blackburn game and the predictions, well, one last thing before that, Will... I haven't actually prepared a combined lineup for this week. It's a bit too early in the week for that. But you said that I should not have put 5 Sheffield Wednesday players in the lineup because we battered them. I guess just pretend in your head that I've made a lineup and you can complain about it. But after what I can say is that Ozan Toufan would definitely be in the lineup. I can tell
your
you.
Definite
that.
Inclusions would have to be Toufan. Coyle, Greaves, Slater,
Ingram, McLaughlin,
Toufan versus Smodic there for that all important attacking midfield role.
Well,
Toufan's got three
this past week as well.
I'm pretty sure I could find the system that has 2 attacking, midfield players. I'm sure there's a way to fit Smodic and Toufan in the lineup. I'll make that and I'll put it in my blog later in the week. So I guess one other thing, Will and myself are the only people in the Tahanaback Prediction League to actually score a point. We're well out in front with 1 point each. And Tom, our position against United. And AD is 0. Well, you were the closest to the actual result. You said 3-0, of course.
Predicting 3-0 sometimes slightly gets success.
Well, of course, I predicted 2-1 or 1-0, wasn't it?
1-0, you said.
Got the same amount of points as you, Will. So it shows it doesn't really make any difference.
Slightly gives them success.
It's going to, the winner is going to be made by who gets a couple of correct scores.
Yeah.
And gets them 5 points out in front.
It's a long season. I'm not going to predict any actual scores that have more than like 3 goals because you don't want to, like, we're not going to win 6-0 potentially. It's too big of a risk. So I think 1-1 every week.
It should have been 6-0 against Wednesday.
Probably should have been. They almost scored an own goal very near at the end, went into the side netting, had a good view of that. Yeah, so Blackburn, shall we just get on to it? What are our score predictions for what will, every game be a tough away fixture in the Championship? I'll go to you first. Will, get your stupid 3-0 out of the way.
It's not stupid when he gets you top of the predictions league. But
Joint top, Will.
Yeah, exactly. That means I'm still top. 3-0.
3-0. Wow. Dolphins. Who's going to score? Tufan hat-trick again?
No, it's going to be... Ooh, tricky, actually. Connolly, Delap, and Slater.
Yeah, nice sort of spread of goals there. I think, has AD said, and Tom, have they both gone for 1-1?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very dull. I mean, extremely dull, but you'll see in a moment.
To be fair, I'll take a point. Drawing your away game from your home games.
Yeah. Ant, your prediction?
I'm going to go for 1-0 City.
Oh, that's positive. That's positive. Who's going to score, Ant? You again?
Delap.
Delap. I don't think that's too unreasonable. Ian Templeman's gone for a very exciting Desmond 2-2 draw. I mean, I was complaining about Tom and AD going for the sort of standard Vecini result of 1-1, but I was thinking I'm probably going to predict 1-1 as well, and then that's hedging my bets.
I disagree there. This season, with Vecini being in, the standard Vecini score hasn't been 1-1, it's been 0-0.
I guess it's 0-0 away and 1-1 at home, isn't it? So maybe I'll...
Going off us this season, 0-0 seems quite far away.
Yeah. Blackburn have scored, so I'll go.
We scored 5, conceded 4 in 2 league games.
Seems pretty exciting to me.
More than
yeah, that's the excitement Adjun wanted.
yeah. I think perhaps other than maybe the Swansea game that started Arvaladze's time, I guess we had 4-4 against Sunderland, but that game, especially at home, was probably the only time we played exciting attacking football, isn't it?
We beat QPR 3-0 as well under Racine. That was quite. There was a couple of games in a row. I think it was then and QPR. We beat them both. QPR and Cardiff.
Cardiff away, didn't we?
Yeah. And then we beat Blackpool, was it 4-2 as well? Can't remember now.
4-2 Rotherham, 4-1 at Wigan. Yeah.
Blackpool, so we can score plenty.
We can score plenty.
Occasionally. Yeah, well,
occasionally. Well, I don't think we're going to score lots, and it'll be a bit of a tough game. I don't think either team's really capable of keeping a clean sheet, so I'll go 1-1.
That first season under Bruce, we were the lowest scorers in the top half of the table, and we finished second.
Mm. Well, Huddersfield, they got promoted with a minus goal difference once, didn't they?
So Huddersfield, yeah. They didn't win a game in the playoffs. They just went through on penalties all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a victory.
A few more 2-1s in chat. Well, I think, is that everything we want to mention for this week?
I think it is. We've done 2 episodes quite quickly, haven't we? So it's quite condensed.
Churning out that content. Football Content Awards nominations, is that a week
they
or 2
soon? Time? They open soon. I think it's like a week now, maybe.
Yeah, well, we're definitely putting that on all the socials. So if you've enjoyed this episode, do remember to vote in that very soon. Thanks for liking and subscribing. Subscribing to the newsletter do we not have that yet? We're having difficulties with the blog still.
The website still. We're trying to gain control of it properly so that we can get regular. Because at the moment we have to submit our pieces to the website creator to then upload it, which means that it can take a little bit of time to do so. But if we can get control of the website, it means that we can upload when we want, which means that we can actually get that them written content out on a regular basis, like what was intended. So just keep your eye out on the website for that. I'm pretty sure it'll be done within the next week or so. We're just sorting out the final bits. So, and then obviously there was the free fish and chips on Saturday. So for the 10 people that went around to Kingfisher and got them, well done. Because it was far too late in the day when we got there to do that, anything like that, I think. Quite gutted, really. But anyone that got them, give us a shout if you're listening and you were one of them. That'd be good. But other than that, no, I think we've covered pretty much everything, haven't we?
Wonderful. Well, remember to like and subscribe. Up the Tigers, and we'll see you next week.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.